Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I took it off and they heard me. All right, there we go. Wow, that's loud. All right, it's funny. It's graduation Sunday. And as far as I can see, we've got one of my high school graduates here. So they're out partying already. So let's pray. No. I'm kidding. They're their mom and dad's problem. What do we care, right? Listen, we're not going to spend a lot of time making this all about the graduates today, but I do want to acknowledge and honor some of them. Where's Kristen? Is she here? Kristen, will you stand up, please? Kristen's graduated from high school. Thank you, sweetie. I just wanted to acknowledge you there. Mike's standing in the balcony, but I don't think Mike graduated. He's counting. But, all right, Mike. But his wife graduated. Pam, will you stand up, Pam? Thank you. Pam graduated from college with an associate's degree. Are there any other graduates here? Where's Layton? Layton, stand up. Layton. Layton graduated with a bachelor's degree from UNO, University of Nebraska, Omaha. There you go. That's my wife cheering. She's born and raised in Omaha. So we're going to be heading back there. There you go. We're going to be heading back there to get our cheese Frenchie at King's. And where do I got to go, Mike? I got to go to Nettie's and get some food at Nettie's too. Nothing's open on Sunday in the Midwest, thank you, Lord. Listen, you've heard a lot of commencement addresses, so I'm not going to go through a lot of stuff, but I wanted to share with you my top 10 quotes from commencement addresses, and so here we go. Number 10, from President George Bush, to those of you who received honors, awards, and distinctions, I say well done, and to the C students, I say you too may one day be President of the United States. Encouraging. From magician and author Robert Orban, a graduation ceremony is an event when the commencement speaker tells thousands of students dressed identically in caps and gowns that individuality is the key to success. Number 8, art professor, humorist, and spokesman Gary Boldin, your families are extremely proud of you. You can't imagine the sense of relief they're experiencing. This would be the most opportune time to ask for money. Winston Churchill, success is the ability to go from one failure to another with no loss of enthusiasm. Boxing great and businessman George Foreman, I think sleeping was my problem in school. If school had started at 4 in the afternoon, I'd be a college graduate today. I feel that one. I'm tired today. Number 5, Oscar Wilde, education is an admirable thing, but it's well to remember from time to time that nothing worth knowing can be taught. Novelist Richard Yates said, they say that we're better educated than our parents' generation. What they mean is that we go to school longer. It's not the same thing. Hockey great and broadcaster Jim Fox, my father always told me, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. I like that one. Academy Award winning actress Judy Garland, always be the first rate version of yourself instead of the second rate version of someone else. Okay, my number 1 quote from commencement exercises from world-renowned theologian Dr. Seuss, you have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself in any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know. You are the guy who will decide where to go. Okay. Getting honest with yourself about your potential and your future. Arthur Miller in his book, You Can't Be Anything You Want, wrote this. And we'll put the next slide up there. Education may develop your mind. The church may help define your calling. Motivation may help you dream. And the workplace may help direct your skills, but ultimately success is based more on your unique abilities than on your personal desires. Right. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Your success is based more on your unique abilities than your personal desires. If anybody can be anything they want, then the difference between being a neurosurgeon and a nurse is just a personal choice, right? Right? One laugh. Yeah. Okay, I'll get some more laughs here. I played tennis with Pastor Mike last week. There we go. And he'll tell you that no matter how much I want to be John McEnroe or Andy Roddick, it's not going to happen. I can practice all I want and hone my skills. I can have the motivation, the desire, the dream. I can really want to be it. And it's just not going to happen no matter what. At the end of the day, I'm still a 5'7" Mexican. This is what God made me. He made me a 5'7" Mexican. He's got a sense of humor. Well, God created each one of you unique as well. Listen to this. Look at what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. It's the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should get. Amen. Amen. That's right. One of the greatest tragedies in life is that too many people chase after a dream that they wish they were, yep, instead of finding out what they were created to be. They chase after things that they want, that they desire, instead of asking God, what is it that you created me to be in the first place? Listen to how the psalmist describes his understanding of this. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained before me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Don't you love that picture? But graduates, God knew long before today that today was going to be here for you. He knew long before today what he was training you to be, what he had put into you. All right? He's a good person to ask. What is it that God created you for? What did he write about you? What God-written story is your life? I love the way the psalmist said that, that he wrote these things down. God has written a story about you. Wouldn't it be good to read it? All right. Well, your jobs, graduates, and for that matter, for all of us, is to do this, to discover your uniqueness. Discover your uniqueness. I've spoken to parents before about the verse from Proverbs about training up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Remember this? Yeah. And then I cautioned them not to get too much into the pre-programming of their children, into directing their children's path as to what they want their kids to be, or to keep them off the wrong path. They pre-program them with these certain ideas or certain thoughts or certain choices that they make for their kids. And I caution them about that, because this scripture really doesn't mean that you're supposed to cattle prod your child in a certain direction, if you will. And then I'd say, don't see your child as a blank slate awaiting your pen, but as a written book awaiting your study. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
The Amplified Bible puts it this way. Train up a child in the way he should go and in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Right? And the youth love this. They love it. John, we love it when you tell our parents that. Well, guess what, youth? Now let's back at you. Graduates, do you know what God has designed you for? Do you know the bent that God has given you? Do you know what he's written about you? We all have God-given abilities, right? Yeah, we all have God-given talents. What are yours? If you're uncertain what your God-given ability is, if you're uncertain what your God-given talent is, if you're uncertain about the story that God's written about you, why would you choose a course of study right now? Why would you choose to enter into a serious relationship? Why would you choose a particular job? Before you do these things, and this is not a hard thing to do, as you're going to see as we go through today, you need to find out what God has made you to be. All right? It's going to save you a lot of time. All right? As you do this, though, don't get discouraged. Don't kick yourself for missed opportunities that have come along, or even for bad decisions that you've made. You know, the great thing about it is that, here's a tip for you, you're never stuck where you're at. All right? You're never stuck where you're at. One of my favorite scriptures is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come.
Amen.
Don't you just love that? Yeah. I just love new beginnings. Graduates, you're on the brink of a whole brand new beginning for you, right?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of you here today, but for those who have graduated already, think about this. Do you remember when you graduated, whether it was high school or college, all the possibilities? Your mind was reeling. Sometimes it was so many possibilities you were scared to death, right? But it's new. You've got this sense that everything's brand new. And that's what's happening right now, is that, God gives you a clean slate. He gives you a fresh start. The new has come. But before you can grab the new, look at this verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. What comes before the new coming? The old has to go. All right, now this is where it gets a little tougher for us. You know, we're all willing to even say, John, I agree with you. God made me a certain way, and I'm excited to find that out. But does that mean I really have to change? Does that mean I really have to give up some things? Well, sometimes, yeah. I mean, wouldn't it be great if it's not the case? And it very well might be that way. But for most of us, myself included, there were a lot of things that had to change. Right? When I found out what God... Well, let me put it this way. I remember going to creation. Sorry, Karen. I remember going to creation in 1984. Thanks. I was 3 years old. I remember clearly the Lord's call on my life at that event. I remember clearly God telling me that I was going to be in ministry. And then I spent the next 4 years, 5 years running from that call. Right? Four, my wife. That's my wife. Four. I ran from that call. I can also remember the day when I had to change directions. I had to stop and turn and say, okay, there were some things I had to give up in order to go along with what God had made me to be. And that's going to happen in your life sometimes. And that's the second point that we're going to have to deal with here, is that once you figure out what you've discovered, what you were intended to be, now you've got to develop your uniqueness. And I love the way that that's worded up there, your uniqueness. All right? Once you've discovered your uniqueness, now you have to make the decision to develop what God's given you. For many of us, that's going to mean that we've been spending too much time or too much effort or too much money in things that we know are not part of God's story for us. Now, if that's the case, that's going to have to change too. This isn't meant to be really scolding or difficult to understand. Actually, this is pretty simple. There's a lot of us, like myself, that spent time running from God. And here's the simplest part. We don't have to go over everything this morning, but here's the simplest version of this, of how to get through this really quickly. It's to seek God first and to see what He shows you. And I want to show you what I mean. That's good, Kev. I got it. I do this for the youth sometimes. I draw a triangle like this. And some of you might have seen this before. And you put God at the top of the triangle, and I'm going to put us over here, okay? And then on this side of the triangle, this is real simple. This is the decisions that we're questioning about. You know, Lord, what about this job? Lord, what about this spouse? How do you spell spouse? Thank you. What about this course of study? What's another one? Children. No, that's not true. We'll put children there. Ooh. Yeah, where should I live? Yeah. All right, these are good. Now, here's the thing. Friends. We'll put friends up there, too. Friends. No, don't invest there. I've taken care of that for God. Just kidding. All right, so here's the deal. This is you, and this is this whole idea, all these different thoughts that you have. And they're running through your brain, and you're questioning, is this part of God's will? Is this part of God's design for my life? And this distance represents all the opportunities, all the options, okay? And let's say that, just for argument's sake, down here there's a million choices. There's a million different investments, a million friends to choose from, a million jobs to go through. If you looked at any college catalog, you know there's a million different courses of study to pick up. And so down here it can be very confusing. It can be very overwhelming. Well, here's what you do, real simply. And this, it is just this simple. You work on this relationship right now. You draw closer to God. You work on your relationship with God. You seek God on these choices. And as you start to get closer to God, these choices start to get smaller and smaller. Your options go down. Now you can say, John, what do you mean my options go down? I like having a lot of options. Do you really? I don't know about you guys, but I hate going to the grocery store and finding out there's 32 different types of milk. I don't like a lot of options. Janet sends me for yogurt. Have you ever bought yogurt at the store? Oh my gosh. But if I call Janet and say, which yogurt? And she says, this brand, this type, this flavor. It looks like this. I sent you a picture. It's on your phone. I'm pretty happy. My options go down as I get closer to Janet on that one. Well, as you get closer to God, your options are going to go down. But guess what? They're going to be the right options. You're going to start losing all of those horrible decisions that you could have made. And imagine the time wasted down here if you jump into one of those other decisions. Now, the first thing that the teenagers give me on this one when I give it to them is, John, what if what I want is down here and it doesn't make it up there? And I say, really, what you want is down here, farther away from God. What you want is down here, farther away from God's story for you. What you want is down here, where you have the ability to really get lost, get hurt, hurt others with decisions that are being made. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So as you're developing your uniqueness, what you want to work on is your relationship with God. It's just that simple. And as you get closer to God, He's going to start to reveal these things to you. Listen to this with regards to the choices that are down here. This is, remember, we're, Paul told this to the church in Corinth. As they were struggling with a lot of similar choices, he said, God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. So if you're saying, John, I've got the choice to make, and I don't know where I'm at on this triangle. I don't know how close I've gotten to God on discussing my job with Him or my spouse with Him. You know, I'm just dating about everything that comes along. Whatever you're where you're at, here's my question for you. Do you have peace? God's not a God of confusion. So the two options that I see on this chart are either that you have peace or you're confused. Either you have peace or you're in chaos. If you don't have a peace about this, how about this one? If you don't have a peace about this as you talk to God about it, it's a good indication that you're probably down here right now. And you're not in His story for you. All right? And, you know, if that comes to the point where you're talking about a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a future spouse, you're going to want to deal with that with God and yourself. You're going to want to end that relationship probably. I know that sounds hard, but you're going to want to end that relationship. All right, I questioned whether to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Listen, somewhere along the line, we've bought into a lie from God, or we've bought into a lie about God that our friends or someone have told us, listen, down here, this is where your pleasure is. Down here is where you are going to get the things that bring you pleasure, that these are the things that you desire. For instance, let's say that down here is professional tennis for me. Okay, obviously not part of God's story, but let's just go with this. Let's say that down here is professional tennis, and I invest everything I have, time, effort, money, into professional tennis. And I'm definitely well outside of this because I'm convinced that that's going to bring me pleasure. I'm convinced that that's my heart's desire. Well, that's total crap. And I know that's a hard word, but you got to hear this. Skubulon. Okay, that's a lie from Satan. And you've got to know that's a lie because the Bible tells us that God gives us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean that God gives me tennis. That means that God wrote a story about me. And in that story was John living the life of a minister. And when I walk in that, I get pleasure. And when I walk in that, I get the desire that God put in my heart. It doesn't mean that God's going to give me anything I want. It means God's already given me what I want. I've got to find what it is. And the pleasure is insurmountable when you walk in that. Do you remember the Olympic runner it was back in, yeah, David Little, right? Back in, Eric Little. Back in the 20s? Chariots of Fire story. And he said when he runs, he experiences God's pleasure. He's doing his God story. He's right in the middle of his God story. Why wouldn't he experience God's pleasure? So if this is what you're looking for, God's pleasure is going to far overwhelm any other pleasure or desire you think you're pursuing now. All right? Don't buy into that lie. That is a lie that this is where your desires are. No, 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 no. This is where selfishness might be.
That's right.
This is not where your desires are. And again, if you don't know what God has written about you, find it out first before you make decisions about what you think are your desires. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. All right. The next one is to discipline yourself for your uniqueness, for your journey. Now, as if this wasn't hard enough to do, because frankly speaking, putting down selfish desires is a very difficult thing sometimes, isn't it?
Amen.
Okay, putting down selfish desires is a very difficult thing all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, well now you got to discipline yourself. And there's so many things that you could discipline yourself in on this journey that would prepare you to read your story that God has written about you. Not the least of which is reading the Bible, which is a story He's already written for us, literally written, praying to God, spending time in meditation, fasting, all these other spiritual disciplines are there. But here's one that I think we're going to struggle with most of all, is that it's who are you choosing to give influence in your life? Who do you put in your life in a position of influence? Now, this is the hard one, I think, for most people, especially young people, because we like people around us, around them. I'll say us because I'm young still. Well, as you find God's story, as you discover your uniqueness and as you develop your uniqueness and you open the book up on what God has written about you, don't be surprised if it takes you away from some current relationships. It's just going to happen. When I got to this point of disciplining myself in my story with God, there were a lot of relationships that had to end. God was gracious to Janet and myself in that I was in the military at the time, and it became very easy to end relationships in that God transferred me from San Diego to New England. Well, actually, South Carolina at that time. So across the country, very easy to end relationships that way. But you don't usually have that option. But the task is the same. You still are going to be called to take a look at these relationships and probably end some of them. When Paul was writing the church in Corinthians, his greatest concern for them was their relationships, was that they were associating with immoral people. And it carries through all of his letters to this church. I'm telling you, the Corinthian church is in a very similar situation to what we're in today. We're surrounded by a lot of immorality disguised as, decent. Think about how far things have come on just television in the last 30, 40 years. Now, I would challenge some of you, not the teenagers, adults, spend a day in a school. Sandra spends a day in a school when she works there, the teachers. They'll tell you it's a whole different world. And our kids are surrounded by immorality. Paul was really concerned about the Corinthian church because he understood that personal discipline is the key to our success. I don't know why I'm setting this down. I'm reading from it most time here. Let me say that again. Personal discipline is the key to our success in anything. But it's definitely the key to our success in discovering, developing, and then walking out the story that God's written about us. You can't do it without personal discipline. Sounds sort of, doesn't it? But think about that. Think about how this relates to your friends. Ask any athlete, ask any businessman, if personal discipline isn't a key to their success. Ask any businessman, athlete, or anyone for that matter, how powerful friends are in their life. I think of Michael Vick, a great athlete. Chose to surround himself with some pretty bad influences. And it cost him, as far as we know so far in his story, everything. Martha Stewart surrounded herself with some pretty bad people as well. Discipline was not a great part of their life in their life. It was a great part for Michael Vick in his individual discipline. You know what? It's funny because I can't say this for certainty, but imagine this. If Michael Vick is down here with he's obviously gifted in sports, right? A gifted athlete, a wonderful quarterback, physically incredibly fit. So what if this is just a tiny part of his God story? But he poured everything he had into it. It's totally out of balance, and look what can happen. On the counter side, look what happens when you see godly athletes who realize that they are gifted, they're physically fit, and that God has developed them as a stellar athlete, but they realize that's just part of their God story. And you think of people like Kurt Warner. His story is not even finished, but what a great story to read. You know? All right. You need to surround yourself with people who are more interested in your well-being. People who have godly influence. Right? Okay, in the Proverbs it says what? Don't be misled that bad company corrupts good character, right? And we all know that. I love the way it's written. Look at this one. This is from, the Contemporary. Bad friends will destroy you. It's just that simple. Bad friends will destroy you. I was reading a Taylor Swift article this week. And I don't know if you like Taylor Swift. I have to. I've got two teenage daughters. Where's Dr. Scott? He commiserates with me on this one. But, you know, she's this young girl. She's not even 19 yet, right? And she's won all these awards. She's just incredibly successful at her chosen occupation of being a country music star, or just singer and songwriter. And her first album, her first song that she wrote and released was called Tim McGraw. Tim McGraw is one of her idols. She loved Tim McGraw and his wife, Faith Hill. And so she made the intentional effort of writing a song about him in hopes that someday she would get to meet him through that song. And when she was actually on stage performing a couple years ago at the Country Music Awards and she sang that song, when it ended, she walked off the stage, walked right down to Tim McGraw and introduced herself. When they were doing this interview with her, this is 2 years later, and she was in California filming CSI, a TV show, she was staying at the house of Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. She was staying with them. She picked people in her life, in her chosen profession, who were further down the road in that profession and had good standards and had godly standards, and she pursued them to be the ones of influence in her life. Very intentional. Somebody might have said when she was 16 years old and she wrote that song, you're just dreaming. That's just way out there. You're never going to be able to do that. But that wasn't her goal, was to set standards of this is the right person. This is the person of influence that I want in my life. She didn't just take anybody who came along. As a matter of fact, if you listen to her songs, there were a lot of people who just came along in her life, and she writes songs about them, and it's really scary. Some of her old guys that had crushes on her and guys that treated her poorly, they got songs written about them. Just a little note to some of you who are in relationships right now that you're thinking, oh, why not? This is a good placeholder. What if they write a song about you later on? You need to pick people who've already arrived at the destination that you want to go to. Okay? It's not a hard thing to remember. Remember that. Choose people of influence in your life who have godly standards and who have already arrived at the destination you want to go to. And then understand this. Changing plans does not necessarily mean you're moving backwards. Changing plans is not a backwards movement.
That's right.
All right? What do you do right now when you get lost? Men don't answer that. But ladies, what do you do right now when you get lost? You ask for directions. What? Turn on OnStar. Turn on my GPS. That's exactly right. We do that a lot nowadays, which is sort of neat because that enables men not to have to stop and ask for directions, but we don't want to go there. But we turn on a GPS. Do you know the neat thing about a GPS is that in a GPS there's what? Gigabytes upon gigabytes of knowledge, right? All these, more maps than you could fit in 100 glove compartments. All in there. And none of it works unless you have a reference point. None of it works unless there's a standard for it to apply all of that knowledge to. Right? Without that standard, a GPS is just a bundle of wires with a screen and a very soft voice speaking to you, sometimes in a British accent, which I like. I like that one the best. Right? Who do you have as your standard? Who is it that you're choosing to put in your life, and what's their standard? Where is their reference point? Friends are great to have. They are. Friends are just wonderful to have. We all love to have friends. It's great to have someone your age who shares the same things in common that you do, who has similar interests. But if their reference point is not God, you're going to be on a road with them to someplace you don't want to go. It doesn't get any simpler than that. You're going to get lost. You're going to get lost. And life's too short to spend all this time lost. Don't make your life's decisions down here. Put people of influence in your life who love the Lord and who can help you be that godly GPS, if you will, for you and guide you. Now, there's a couple of things we can do for you here at Discover to help you find your way on this. If you've never taken Discover 301, which is one of the classes that we offer here, you need to. Discover 301 is a class that's going to help you find your spiritual giftings and help develop those in God's plan for this church. But the benefit to you is that you find out a lot about yourself, a lot about how God created you, and then exactly how you fit into His plan for a Discover Church. And you get to come alongside a lot of people who are excited and very similar. You know, it's almost like, but don't get this wrong, it's almost like computer dating. Okay? We're going to match you up, all right, with your ministry. We're going to match you up with your God story. And Discover 301 is a great thing to do. If you haven't taken that, you need to take that. And you can find out more about that, or you can sign up by contacting the church office. All right? Now, for the graduates, I have a little something different for you. What I want to offer you is this. Seek me out. Find me, and I will personally walk with you through your spiritual giftings test. We'll find out your personality puzzle. We'll offer you the Myers-Briggs type indicator to find out a little bit more about your personality. And we'll discover this together. But I'm not going to seek you out. I'm not going to find you. You've got to find me. This is going to be the first indication that you are ready and willing and want to discover your uniqueness in Christ. That you are ready, willing, and desire to develop that uniqueness in Christ. And that you're ready, willing, and that you desire to try and discipline yourself in exactly what God has created you to be. This is not something that, I mean, this is a lot of my time, and a lot of the stuff costs money. We want you to have it. This is our gift to you. You know, God's given you a lot of gifts, and I can't tell you what they are, especially from standing here and looking out. But we're going to help you find those and unwrap those. Okay? There's an old story about five frogs on a log. And three of the frogs decide to jump off the log. How many frogs are left on the log? Okay, we got two, we got five, we got none. I don't know where we got the none from. Okay. There's five frogs left on the log. What did I say? That's right. I said they decided to jump off the log. I didn't say they did it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fun. Right now, a lot of you are in your seats. You are in your seats and you're deciding, yeah, I need to discover my uniqueness. And I'm going to develop that. And I'm eventually going to discipline myself in that gifting that God gave me. But you're going to leave here and you're not going to do a thing. Actions speak louder than words, right? Actions demonstrate what it is that we believe. Nothing else will demonstrate it quite like that. Fran had this word during the prophetic. If you want my will, God's will in your life, you need to lay down yours. Okay? You could make many decisions down here in your will. Don't. Don't. Jump off the log. Discover what it is that God has for you, what God has written about you, and develop it. And then live the disciplined life that's going to bring you pleasure and joy beyond what you've ever thought about. God gave you the desires of your heart. Why don't you find out what those desires are before you try fulfilling any other desire? Amen?
Amen.
Let's close in prayer.